Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached on August 27, 2023, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text for the day was Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have keys to your local congregation? I know some of you do. Some of you have roles, which mean you may need to get into the church when no one else is there. Others of you perhaps just acquired a set of keys at some point for some reason. In my first congregation in Ellsworth, Kansas, the church itself was always open. It was a limestone church that had been built in 1898. And while the front doors had been replaced since then with doors that could be locked, they simply never were. Occasionally, someone would ask me if the church was open, to which I always responded, "I hope so, because no one's ever given me the keys." It was true. But since it was always open, of course, it didn't matter. Why give out keys to something that is never locked? You only give out keys to a building that's going to be locked to some and unlocked to others. Today we heard Jesus address Peter and his fellow apostles after Peter has confessed him rightly to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus tells them that he is placing into their hands a set of keys. What keys? Well, the keys to the very kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Yes, God's kingdom would be locked to some, and it would be unlocked to others. Jesus was placing these men and those who would follow him in charge of the keys to that kingdom. He assured them that if they locked the door to that kingdom to anyone, his Father in heaven would consider it locked. However, if they unlocked the door to that kingdom to anyone, his Father would also consider it unlocked as he sat in heaven. Christ's giving of these keys to his kingdom, to his church on earth, explains something very important for us to know, and that is this. God has chosen to deal with us through his church on earth and through his pastors that he calls. This, in fact, could be said to be the prime work of the church on earth, to lock and to unlock the kingdom of God as it deals with people in the world. And how it does this is quite simple in one way, though doing it in reality is much more complex. But in general, at Christ's command, it locks the door to proud sinners who refuse to repent of their sins. It unlocks the door to all sinners who repent of their sins and desire forgiveness from God and life with God. It gives out every grace of Jesus to those who despair of their own righteousness, and yet it refuses to cast the pearls of his mercy out before the swine who think that they are living well or that they will never have to answer to anyone. This reality is not something we talk about a lot, even though, as Lutherans, we learn this right from the beginning when we are taught the faith through Luther's Small Catechism. There, Martin Luther asks, "What is the office of the keys?" And then he answers, "The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent." And why does the church have this power? Well, the Catechism itself points to the account of Jesus entrusting this authority to his disciples after his resurrection, as recorded in the Gospel of John. But it could have just as easily pointed to our text from Matthew, where Christ does exactly the same thing. But does this really happen in the church? Well, it should, and at times it does. One of the places you could see this work is in regards to the altar of the Lord, the receiving of communion. For members of the congregation who desire to continue in any sin without repentance are indeed to be told, after they have been spoken to about their sins, that they should not come forward and receive what is offered until they repent. Yes, they are to be told that the door is locked. Also, those who sinfully deny that Jesus' body and blood are present in this meal, either personally by confession or by connection to a church which denies these things, are to be told by the pastor or the elders or other members that they should not come to the rail. Those that willfully join churches that teach things that are clearly opposed to the scriptures are also told that the door remains locked for them. Those that sadly do not know the Lord yet or understand what the meal about also are told that for the moment that door is locked to them, for this meal is only for those who know their sin and know their Savior. On the other hand, the worst of sinners who despairs of their sin and trusts the word of Christ regarding this meal, well, they are told that the door is unlocked for them and that they will receive every blessing should they enter through that door. They can bring the most horrific thoughts and deeds to the altar of Christ to be removed. Just believe the words for you, we tell them. And as the supper is administered in this way, the keys are being used. The kingdom is locked to some because of their continued sin, and it is unlocked to others solely by the grace of God. The church reveals to us God's wrath against sin and his unending mercy towards humanity. When it tells us that our sins remain on us because we refuse to turn on them, we must know that these sins too remain on us, and perilously so. But blessedly, when it tells us that our sins are forgiven, we can trust that that is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Now, this whole idea can seem rather frightening, but is intended to be quite the opposite. Oh yes, it's terrifying if you wish to walk in sin without repentance, but then again, it will be much more terrifying on the last day if you tell God, the judge, that that is what you chose to do on earth. Indeed, there you would be sent away forever, the door forever locked to you. But in the church, when we send people away for a moment by locking the door, we always have hope that that word will be a wake-up call, that those people would turn back towards God in repentance. Yes, the church always hopes to tell that same person later, the door is unlocked, the fruits of Jesus' cross are yours, you will live with him forever. For you see, ultimately to be in good standing with the church, as recognized by one's local congregation, is to be in good standing with God. It tells you how you will be judged on the last day. Of course, many people now believe that their relationship with God is such an intensely private matter that no one else could ever speak to or about it. They believe that their relationship to God is between God and them alone. As long as they still believe they have saving faith according to their own judgment, they contend then that no one could ever judge them or their actions, let alone their overall standing with God. But this is just not how the scriptures speak. Jesus multiple times entrusts this work to his church through his apostles, and his pastors continue this holy work of locking and unlocking the kingdom of God to those upon earth. Or at least we should. Admittedly, this teaching, though it is rather basic in our church as a basic teaching of our church, it has not been taught consistently in church. More and more, we just sort of leave everything up to each person to judge. We try to just keep everyone happy rather than keeping everyone spiritually whole. To be honest, we've sort of turned the church into a church where the door is always open, like my church was in Ellsworth. And therefore, no one needs to have or use the keys, especially not to lock the door. And that might sound good in our day when confrontation with truth is seen as aggressive and unwanted. But it is not good because it is not how God has ordered his church. Truly, if the door is never locked, neither will anyone really care when it is opened. If no one is ever told no, what joy is there when they hear God's undeserved yes? If no one says to one who is unrepentant that their sins remain, who cares if the called and ordained pastors tell you that your sins are removed? If the altar is simply open to all, what privilege is there in being welcomed there to eat and drink by Jesus himself? If the door to the kingdom is never locked, who would even take notice if there was a grand announcement that it was going to be open? Who would ultimately care that Jesus came to unlock the door to heaven for all who believe? Who would care that he died in order to do away with the sin that keeps the door to heaven sealed shut for all people? Who would care that he rose in order to open the door himself for all who would believe that they might enter in and have life? Yes, God deals with you through his church. When you stubbornly want your sins more than you want Jesus, the church must tell you that the door is locked to Jesus. But as soon as that word makes you realize your foolishness and repent of it, the church then is overjoyed to unlock the door and say to you, enter into your master's joy. And as it is with you, it is with all. Sin locks the door. Jesus has opened it, and the church, according to his command, holds the keys. Thanks be to God for the great gift of his church and for the great gift of the forgiveness of sins that he gives through the church. God's peace be with you all. Amen.